you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies one minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
And I am Crystal Beth Wilson, the mountain hermit that doesn't go anywhere or do anything anymore, who has a husband who brings me tea.
Oh, look at that. You said Wilson and he showed up. It's like you summoned him, like a genie.
Wilson!
Only when I acknowledge my last name does he come, which is amazing.
Well, thanks for coming back on the show. I'm happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be able to do something fun for a minute.
Yeah, only a minute, though. We only have one minute that's fun. The rest of it is dire.
And what a fun minute it is as well.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
The fun never stops in 128, which starts with Leia saying, "But," and it ends with Luke saying, "Leia." So,
Leia.
And according to Leia, the spark is out. According to, and I, of course, for some reason, picture Glenn Frey singing, "The spark is out."
I don't know what that is.
It's the heat is on.
The spark is out. Got it.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Cop, right? Mm-hmm. Was that it was from the first one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Smuggler's Blues was Miami Vice.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, so she has a little speech here, which is especially sad considering that in just a year earlier, we had seen a computer-generated Leia talking about how hope was the most important thing, and now here she is basically saying, you know, no hope. So it's a nice little contrast.
Well, the spark is out. She didn't say there's no hope. She said the spark is out. Because there's
the spark.
She said
something about hope.
Oh, I think that, yes. Eventually she does, right?
Right. Yep.
Eventually. Yeah, yeah. Right. She gets around to it.
I always took it as the spark is the hope. And it's very depressing.
The spark. They're the spark that lights the fire.
The fire that brings the rebellion about to magic.
That knocks the little diver off the platform, which knocks the bowling ball and then runs around the side and sets off the mousetrap.
He didn't start the fire, though.
No.
So we see sad Leia.
Yeah, she's finally, you know, she's the one who's been the face of this, the driving spirit behind the rebellion / resistance this whole time.
Yeah, this seems a great minute to wake up to.
It's it feels very baby boomerish to me. Not to incite the age wars here on the program, but it seems like there must be we know there's Empty Nest and other rebellious people out there, and it's like because they're just not coming to help Leia. Well, that's it. There's no rebellion anymore. Like my version of the rebellion is not happening. So therefore, that's it. There's no hope left in the entire galaxy. So I don't know.
Never thought of it like that.
Right.
That's really anyway. Extra sad.
What? Yeah, it's a little bit like, I know you guys aren't on Facebook, but it's a little bit like a lot of old people, boomers, there you go, we'll put on Facebook, they'll post like, you know, most people will see this and won't share it, but so-and-so is something that's supposed to be inspiring and with like a little bit of like a guilt dare that is just like, yeah. Like, well, you know, most people won't see this and share it, but so-and-so, you know, managed to, you know, they worked four shifts in a row to pay for their surgery. And it's just like, what?
You're so right. Same I'm kind of not going to share it.
Yeah. And it's like Leia, you know, being like, well, most people are, you know, they saw it, they didn't hear it. But, you know, we're the spark that lights the hope. They're, yeah. they're right. rebellion.
You just called them. You yeah. literally just called them. They're doing things. They're like, my daughter is having a baby. I can't get there right now.
Right.
Maybe people just don't go for your brand of the rebellion anymore, Leia. Maybe this is more of a Saw Gerrera type rebellion, you know? Maybe when we want someone who's a little bit more Boar Gullet, a little bit more hands on and, you know, so on. So Boar Gullet.
I do like the idea of though of people kind of, you know, coming out of the Mon Calamari opera or like, you know, yeah. getting back to their you know, after they're had a night out at the cantina and then they check their phone and they're like, oh, what is this? The last spark of the rebellion. Oh, what? Oh, that was like 6 hours ago. I guess I missed that.
Yeah. I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah. Somebody else had to have shown up.
Right. There's a lot of us. Mm-hmm.
It calls up someone else. Yeah, Lando, are you going to this thing? Are you going to, I don't know if I want to go.
I don't
want to
be the only one that's there.
Like, if you're yeah. going, I'll go, but I don't want to go there and not know anyone else. So, you know.
Is that rebellion?
That's why when Lando invited everyone.
Is it still happening? Because that's, yeah.
It'll be interesting if we could see what the exact wording is comparing Leia's reaching out to Lando's reaching out. Did Lando just have a better pitch in Rise of Skywalker? He's like, hey, free drinks for, you know, ladies getting free. Or what was he like? Why did everyone react so well to that one and not this one? We'll never know, I guess.
I honestly think it's the free drinks. I would go. Yeah. I would be there in a second.
Yeah.
Like, it's not BYOB? Okay.
There you go. Well, plus, I think I theorized, I was hypothesizing about this the other day, that it's like, once they, you know, they got the alert, they're just like, oh, Rebellion needs your help. And they're like, ah, somebody else will do it. And then it's like they were more or less wiped out. And they're like, all right. They felt bad. So the next time Lando was like, hey, Rebellion is almost wiped out. We need your help. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I missed that last one. Right. I felt bad. I got to do this one.
Hey, you won't come to this Rebellion.
Right. So there, it was like a guilt, like internal guilt. Like, I got to go to one at least, right? Yeah. Because otherwise they're...
It's like when charities send you those things every month, like envelopes, you know, with like, please help our cats and, you know, like right. constant petitioning for us.
Ugh, every time you go to PetSmart and they're like, donate a dollar.
Ugh. I had a dollar it, for like, every time.
I will donate a dollar. But then if I don't, I'm like, I donated a dollar last time. Like, I feel like I have to tell
right,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the same you should thing. Get like a wristband or something. I right? gave last time. Gave last yep. time. Yeah.
That when I got to say, when my wife worked for a nonprofit, non-governmental organization, it was a good like absolve of like any charity guilt for anything. Like I would still, you know, like give to the things that I you know, was feeling passionate about. But anytime anybody else was just like, hey, would we, you know, could we use your help for this thing? But hey, sorry, no, I you know, my wife works for this organization. So like, yeah, I'm already
into
deep
it.
Into this. So
yeah, I'm married into charity. I
like how the fact that your wife works for the charity lets you off the hook. For right.
Totally. No, we're household yeah. was already attached. So we're yeah. doing a lot
yep.
here. So
that's
when sorry.
The guy do a podcast send him somewhere. Represent us.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, next time they ask me, I'm going to go, my podcasting partner, his wife used to once work for a charity, so I'm kind of, yeah, kind of already did my part.
I'm the guest on a podcast where one of the host's wife works in a nonprofit.
Used to work.
Formerly.
Used to work. She put in her dues, therefore, I don't have to do it anymore.
Exactly.
It's great that your wife did such a, was willing to take one for the team and become the get out of charity free for all of your friends and family for the next 20 years.
It's so great. Thank yeah. you. Mm-hmm. It's like those things, you know, the kind of the little sticker that you put on your car or the card in your wallet or whatever. That's supposed to be like, oh yeah, my cousin's friend is a state trooper. So if you put that in your wallet, they won't give you a ticket. You know, it's that kind of yeah. a thing.
I thought you were going to go towards this car climb Mount Washington. And I was waiting to see how that
too
tied in.
Right. I once climbed Mount Washington like by hand, so you guys can all by proxy.
On your hands?
Just on my hands, just walking on my hands.
That's insane.
No, it was a good. Wow. We climbed up. A bunch of us climbed up, and then you get to the top, and we'd slightly underestimated it. Got to the top, we were completely exhausted, and we were just like, "All right, like, how can we take the next bus down or whatever?" And they're like, "Oh no, like that." There's nothing going down anymore. Like there were some tourist buses that were going this afternoon, but it's too late for that. You know, you guys got to hurry up, make your way back down before nightfall. Otherwise the cougars come out. We're just like, oh. Like none of us can breathe. Hang on a second. We're going to sprint down the side of the mountain now.
At least down is easier.
Yeah. Luckily it was easier down.
Down is easier.
It would have been worse if you were caving
more than once. So
me too. I did it thrice. One time I did it with 102 degree fever. Didn't know that I was sick. And then a mother took pity on me and drove me down the hill. And I fell asleep on her like 14-year-old son, just getting the flu everywhere.
Just fluing him up.
Innocent times.
Right?
Alex,
I know, right? That would never happen again.
How many times have you climbed Mount Washington, Alex?
I don't even know what you guys are talking about with Mount Washington. So. Where is that? Is it in, I don't know where it is.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, huh?
It's 9,000 feet and it had the fastest wind on the planet or something at one point.
Yeah, it was like a weather station that was notorious for check out all the crazy stuff that we were able to witness.
I'll have to climb it next time I'm in New Hampshire.
There you go.
Or you can drive it and get that bumper sticker.
Yeah. Or fall asleep on a 14-year-old, but that's...
That was the most fun.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We get an appearance by some hooded guy who walks through the door.
Yeah, interestingly, Creepio seems to be the one who seems to react first.
Yeah.
Kind of like goes, and starts, his servos start making a lot of noise.
That raises a lot of questions.
Yes. We don't have time for them today, unfortunately.
No. It raises a lot of questions. Like, what am I doing here? I guess, like, this is more than just a standard, because we've had questions about the force ghost thing, and this isn't a force ghost thing. This is a separate kind of protocol. Protocol. Maybe that's what
it's called. Force projection?
Yeah, it's like force projection, and so it seems like he's physically affecting the light in the, at least the light, and we'll get further as it goes on, but at least the light in the bunker here.
Well, that's interesting because it's always tough to say, is he affecting the light or is it the fact that everyone observing it thinks they're seeing? So like the observer's brains are correcting what the light is doing because they think if this was a real person, it basically convinces you that there's really a person standing there, even though like a security camera would just show blank.
Well, I mean, isn't C-3PO like basically a security camera?
I don't know. There seems to be some debate as to what exactly 3PO is seeing during all of this. Mm. So,
Crystal, what's your take? Do you think C-3PO? Do you think Luke is bending light, and can C-3PO see him?
I just thought there was light behind him. I didn't even go that deep looking at it. That's
why we're here.
I know, right? My gosh, I forgot how good you guys are. That's not true. I could never. I think C-3PO sees him.
Because he definitely seems to react. So it's
And he's the first person to acknowledge. So at first I was like, oh, he must have heard something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then.
Because first it almost seems
something.
Like...
But also Leia has old ears, so she's not.
What? What's everybody looking at? What?
What?
Why are you guys looking in that corner? Oh. Who is that? Is it the mailman? That was my Leia impersonation.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounded just like her.
Because at first it seems almost like you could almost see it as Leia having like a monologue with like, it almost seems like she's talking to Luke like in her mind, and this is just kind of like a almost like in a play or something where like Luke's not really there. This is just like her. This is a way that to convey that she is speaking to Luke. You know,
right?
It almost seems like it's more like in her like she summoned him somehow, or at least. A version of, I guess not dissimilar to what Leia did with Han Solo in Rise of Skywalker, where she kind of...
No, where Han Solo did to Kylo Ren.
Right, but I thought the implication was that Leia was somehow sparking that on.
She's the spark.
She's the spark, yes.
There you go. She's the sparks. But, yeah, so at this point, it does seem like 3PO is at least reacting to somebody being there, something being there.
Yeah.
I like to think that Luke's responsible for all the lens flares.
Mm. Well, he wants to be dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's studying on how force filters, you know.
I am glad we have at least one scene with Leia and Luke together, with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill together, because, you know, that's
right.
One gripe that I and other people have had about the we never get a scene of the old gang back together with everyone, you know, back together, which is I understand why story wise it's not about them. It's the new generation, et cetera, et cetera. Even though the new generation doesn't spend much time together either. But,
no. Right. I was just.
But I'm glad we at least got one scene with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. And when he goes, lay up. So
what one thing I really like about this minute. So whenever I'm talking about movies by minute, I will have the clip on a loop. And what's great about this loop is that it starts with Leia sad, comes in, and then Luke comes in, and then it cuts like he just disappears, and then she looks sad and sits back. So this is like an actual little movie of just Luke disappointing Leia.
Over and over and over again. Right.
Yeah, an infinite loop, like in Doctor Strange.
Well, yeah, speaking of these two being together,
they should have kissed, you're right.
He gives her a kiss on the forehead, but two sound related things. Chrysanthitana's got me thinking about the sound and music. Not the sound of music. I'm always thinking about the sound of music, but now I'm thinking about the sound and the music.
Beautiful.
Dope.
But we get the Luke and Leia music, which is from Return of the Jedi, from like the bridge scene on Return of the Jedi, when there's a specific theme that had to be, I guess, constructed for like, okay, non-romantic Luke and Leia music.
Yeah.
We need to make it sound emotional, but not romantic.
Hmm.
And so...
sibling love.
Yeah. By Captain and Tennille. Now, the... that strange of like
that was Phasma's first name. I couldn't remember what first name we gave to the and it was Tennille.
but nice to see that come back, and it's a little bit, you know, I get wary of the soundtrack being basically paint by numbers, like, oh, okay, here's, you know, they're doing this or this person's on the screen, therefore we play their little, you know, leitmotif, their little theme. But like this resonates because this is the first time, you know, that we've seen them together since Return of the Jedi, and so to have that piece of music come back for this makes sense. And, it's been long enough. It's not like they did every time they were, it's not like we had them together on screen every movie. And every time we see them, it's like,
right. I know sometimes I forget that I'm a very simple movie watcher. Like, I obviously love watching movies and I like mm-hmm. being challenged, but I love when the music tells me exactly what's happening.
Right.
Because it's like a little Easter egg. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, I know what that is. Or it's like all of the music in The Mandalorian where I'm like, I know what they're talking about. That's this song. That's from this. And then so you're like, that's going to be Ahsoka. And you're like, well, I know I was going to be here, but it's nice to get a little hint every once in a while.
Yeah, it's neat when it gives you a little heads up that if you're, especially in a situation like this where it's, I don't know if it does it give you that right when you first see Luke. I like it when you get like a little silhouette or shadow or something and the music. So it gives you as many little clues. So it's like if you're tied into it, you know, and if you're not, then you still get to know like a second later. But it's a little like, like exactly like you said.
I know first.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a race to figure out who knows the most about the movie.
Right. Oh, gosh. I wish that wasn't true.
Yeah, so like as soon as you hear the music cue, you're like, Luke, you yell it out. So every let's Luke. Right. So everyone in the theater
stand
knows.
Up in the theater. That's go back Luke.
I did that, too. I was watching Mandalorian with some of my friends that aren't as big of Star Wars fans. And I had to actually stop myself because I was like, when Luke showed up for the first time, I was like, but I also didn't want to be wrong. Because I was like, maybe they're doing something crazy and I'm going to look like a dum-dum if I say something.
That's Mara Jade. Everyone, that's Mara Jade. And then you're like,
that would be awesome.
I was holding out for Kit Fisto, but it wasn't to be.
Oh, I love him.
So so if we're watching this for the first time.
Oh, we're not.
I'm guessing we all assume this is the real Luke because, obviously they're.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. But although you could say even at this point, a nitpicker would be like, wait a minute, 3PO said there was no ways in or out. So how did Luke get into this thing? But as we saw the last 2 minutes, there's plenty of other ways in and out that 3PO just did not choose to mention. So that would be less of a thing.
Anything can always be explained by the Force.
Yeah.
I remember when I was watching this in the theater and I saw Luke come in, I remember being like, did I miss? Is there a door? There might be a door. Maybe I missed.
You do remember thinking that? So you were. No.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well,
there
funny.
Was. I mean, I think that also comes from doing so many movies by minutes while things are happening.
Yeah.
There is a subliminal analyzing that's happening no matter what I watch.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, I think that they said, and there's like, maybe I was crying at that point. Maybe I missed it. But there might've been a door. Maybe someone cut C-3PO off, but because I like to put my faith in the directors and writers, I'm like, maybe I did miss something. I 100% thought that he was there until I found out he wasn't. And I was like, what's happening?
I think when he had the lightsaber, that was when I was like, oh, wait a minute, something screwy here. When he had the lightsaber that we saw blow up in Anakin's old lightsaber, I think that was when I was like, wait a minute, that was just blown up like 2 scenes ago. And then.
Yeah, it's why that one and not the green one. And I understand some of the arguments on both sides of that. But
yeah.
I mean, also the fact that like, what did he stop for a haircut? Like, those kinds of things where you're like,
So one of the things I thought with and like a hair color, too, some coloring done. But I like
to see that cut scene where Luke goes like, all right, I'm going out, and he goes to the caretakers and there's like the caretaker salon where they're doing like a little dye job and a little trim.
So that's a cut scene.
I like the fact though that Luke was like, I have to do this projection of myself, but I don't really like the way my hair looks like right now. So I'm going to actually put more effort into making that look better.
Right.
And then go to battle. But I always thought that the reason that he didn't have the green lightsaber was because that was like a different part of him. Like he had that when he started getting very, I don't know how to explain it. It's I guess that was when he was like young and fresh and new and had all the hope in the world, which is why it was the blue one. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think I even realized that that one blew up at the point. I'm like, now I do, but at the point when I first saw it, I don't think I even put two and two together.
Yeah. It's possible that after he attempted to, well, do we know if he still has the green lightsaber post destruction of the Jedi school? Because it could have been destroyed. It could have been. Last time we saw him using it was when he was about to kill Kylo Ren.
Right.
So it's possible.
That would have been a real kick in the wiener if he used the green lightsaber to fight him for Kylo Ren.
I would think that would make Kylo Ren angrier. But the argument is that, well, this one, like using. Remember how angry Kylo Ren got when he saw Rey holding it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Finn holding it. I forgot who he first got angry about. They said, that belongs to me. Like that.
That's mine.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand that him getting angry at that. But you think that would trigger something in his head where he would be like, wait a minute, didn't we just destroy that? And Luke doesn't know, presumably, unless he felt that.
He's
in the
blinded force, by rage.
Luke's just like, here I am with that lightsaber. And Kylo Ren is like, wait a minute, I've got half of that lightsaber right here. Like, how does that work? But yeah, there were, I'll say that there were, I'll no prize the door answer by saying, remember, they did slide in through those little trench doors. Like, there's a bunch of little doors within the big main door. And I think they were mainly concerned about, you know, well, they can't escape that way through the big main door or any of the little doors that go through there because they're being watched by the Empire. But people can kind of come in if they need to, like where all the people that were in the trench and the pilots, the skimmer pilots and all that managed to come back in.
He was there the whole time. No one knew where Luke was.
There you go. Oh, that should have been like, they're all like, well, the spark is dead. What do we do now? And Luke's just sitting in the corner in a rocking chair. It's just like, I tell you what we do. And they're like,
who are you?
In my day, there was multiple sparks.
There is another spark.
In a weird way, the fact that there are ways in and out, despite 3PO's claim, is almost the same way like it's a weird ring theory with the rest of the slow speed chase, which was they were involved in this chase, but they were also free to come and go what they want, to go have side adventures on casino planets and so on. So it's a similar kind of like, oh, we're in this terrible situation, except for this one little way we can get out very casually and not have to worry about anything. So,
right.
Also, C-3PO is not always right. Sometimes he's wrong.
Yeah.
You sure?
Well, that's all I have for minute number 128.
I like his brown glove.
Yeah.
C-3PO's?
Yes.
It's a new look that he's trying out. He's like, what if I was more rugged? And he's like,
yeah. I also, so one thing for me when Leia says, I know what you're going to say, I changed my hair.
Right.
That to me, that's such a Carrie Fisher thing to say and not a Leia thing to say, which I appreciated because who doesn't love Carrie Fisher?
Right.
But I remember kind of getting taken out at that point because this isn't the time for jokes. But I think it's cute. And I like when Luke says he likes it like that.
Yeah.
It's like a really cute big brother thing. And it kind of reminds you of like the history, but also she changed it probably when they were younger too.
Probably, but when is the last time?
We never saw it.
Right. Like when, who knows how she had it when they saw each other last. So
she had a bowl cut.
Right. Yeah. She was trying something out.
She went through her extreme like Riot Girl phase where she had like a buzz cut or something. And, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I do like that too. And it's it is more of a Carrie Fisher line, but it works in this because I think, you know, General Leia is a lot more Carrie Fisher than Princess Leia was.
Right.
And so that, like, allowing her to be who she is, I think, is part of what made the character in this iteration so great. Because it was just, for the most part, they're just letting the people be themselves.
Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Well, that was George Lucas's, you know, intention. Getting casting actors who were as close to the real characters as he could find.
Right.
So he didn't have to worry so much about directing them as actors.
Mm-hmm. Less work.
I forget. Luke is technically the older one, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
By a few seconds.
A few oombas.
Yeah.
Little twins do seem to fixate on that, though.
Yeah.
In my experience.
Yeah. I'm 3 minutes older. Right.
Yeah. Ooba, ooba.
I have a note on timing. I have a note, you know, I've been pointing these out. Remember, this is the longest Star Wars, I believe, to date. Mm-hmm. So we have notes. We're demarking the finish line as we cross it for these other movies. And the Empire Strikes Back Special Edition ends here in minute 128. So
We're in the post-credit scene now in Empire, where Samuel Jackson approaches Boba Fett about joining the Avengers.
Joining the Rebellion Initiative or something.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting, we've crossed the threshold on, I think, 3 or 4 movies by this point. So now interesting. We'll see them all fall before we're done.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, do you remember seeing The Last Jedi for the first time? What your initial impressions were?
I do. My initial impression was as it is with every Star Wars, which was leaving in a flood of tears going, that was so good. No matter what. The one part I remember being like, ugh, was when Rose knocked Finn out of the way. Spoilers. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet.
You just missed it.
That just
we
happened.
Just passed. Oh, wait,
I was like, yeah, that did just happen. I was like, I don't like that.
You but came so close that, to getting your least favorite minute. That was the luck of the force.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I really enjoy Rose. I am sad that they pushed her to the side on the last one. But that was the only part that I didn't like. But I just remember being like, the music, anytime Star Wars music's happening at all, it just swells my heart. And I liked the battle between every lightsaber fight. I just enjoy so much, because I remember when I was watching the originals, I was like, man, I wish these fights were better. And from Phantom Menace on, I just can't get enough of them. I think they're just so much fun to watch. And I watched regular people do it too on YouTube. But I liked it. And then you watch it and you pick holes in it. And that's half the fun of Star Wars, is watching it and making fun of the little things, but
tell us about it,
right? You know,
it's implied in our mandate,
right? I don't have to do it as often as you, special, perfect, wonderful people. You're doing the Lord's work, and I think I speak for everyone when we're very happy and enjoy listening to your commentary about everything. And I'm so happy to be a part of this, and I'm glad I was able to be here to be this in 1 minute 128, which is almost my birthday, which is 1128. Very exciting.
All right.
One. We need another one.
One.
Well, you're the one.
It's 1 minute of 128.
1 minute of 128. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know you didn't like them. Any other scenes you did or did not like you want to get off your chest, since this will be your only crack at The Last Jedi bat? How'd you feel about Hermit Luke or Canto Bite or any of that stuff?
I feel so bad. I hated Canto Bite so much. And nothing, everyone gives me arguments for it. Yeah. I hate every part of it. I didn't like it when I was watching it either, now that I'm remembering. Because I was like, what are they doing here? And then I was like, why would you even have to go there if nothing was going to happen? Like, Red Pom Bloom. And then nothing came of it. And that gets me worked up, apparently.
You don't like having your expectations undermined.
Yeah. And it's just like, you have this whole thing where we get to see that, when you look deep, everything sucks. It's like, yeah, I know, I'm watching movies, so I don't have to think about that. But I really like Adam Driver, specifically in this. So anytime he's on the screen, it's a joy. But
you're
Canto Bite, I think they could, just like the state of Connecticut, pick it up and throw it into the ocean, because it's in the way of my other favorite things. Sorry, anyone from Connecticut.
A lot of New England references this show. Mount Washington and
throwing Connecticut into the ocean.
Yeah. I think that those are probably my least favorite. I do like, and this is an argument that I always have with people about how they don't like, they think it should just end in the Millennium Falcon after they get off crate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
But the way I look at that is the end of Star Wars for us who grew up with it, because, you know, all Star Wars end in that tableau of everyone just like happy and having fun. And then it goes on and it shows a little boy with his little stick lightsaber. That was, I think, in my opinion, how I saw it was the handoff from our Star Wars to the other people's Star Wars. And it kind of helps me not get frustrated about things too, because it's not mine anymore. Mine is the old Star Wars, and I will cherish it until the day I die, probably longer. But what's happening now is for the other people, and I don't need to get upset about it if something happens that I don't necessarily like.
Right. I like that you said possibly even longer, because now I'm picturing like you coming back as a Force ghost for somebody else watching Star Wars and being like, wait, check this pod out. It's great. Look at this. Watch.
Right?
Watch. Watch this duel.
Crystal Beth commentary from the afterlife. I would do it.
Because when you become a Force ghost, you get an Obi-Wan accent. I'm not sure why, but
it's something when you like rematerialize pops in.
Yeah.
I like that Force ghosts are kind of echoing like technological improvements. Like first Obi-Wan was just like a radio, and then they were like black and white TVs. And now Luke shows up and he's like, I'm in HD full color. You think you're looking
out
the window.
Footprints.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be the new one.
He's not a Force ghost yet. So he's still
right, but
a
it's
different
a,
connection. But it's, yeah.
Right. But it's a, you know.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean.
Right.
I know. I'm with you. Yeah. I know. I didn't mean to derail the fun. I just was like, well, technically.
Yeah,
not
nerd.
A Force ghost yet. If he was. I think
he was a Force ghost in that was like he went back to being a black and white TV in Rise of Skywalker when he shows up as a ghost.
He's right. Like a hipster.
Yeah.
He's like, this is too cool now. I have to go back to OG.
He's like, don't you think it's the fuzziness is what gives it its kind of.
Yeah, it feels more
warmth.
Alive.
Oh.
Ironically.
You kids, you just don't get it.
Well, I think that's pretty much all we got. So, Crystal, thank you so much for hopping back on with us.
Thank you for having me. It means a lot. Love hanging out with you guys.
We talked about how you're not really on, you don't really do social media stuff. Is there anything that you want people to find that's not social media related? Any websites or places or...
you should definitely go check out your other podcast, the Fifth Element, and so on.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, Movies by Minutes, I can't, you know, tell people to go listen to more of them than I can just go listen to more of them. moviesbyminutes.com. Mm-hmm. I am not on social media and I also have zero time. So I do want to extend a heartfelt apology for everyone that's been asking me to do their shows. I wish I could, I just don't have any time. And it is really frustrating, but I am doing something that I love working in my restaurant and I work there. I'm there all the time. So that's good. But if you ever just want to say hi, if I don't have social media, email me thecrystalbeth.com. That's my website.
Right.
the.crystal.beth@gmail.com is my email. I like when people just pop in to say hi. George and Dave say hi a lot and Travis. So it's nice when people reach out because I miss everyone so much.
Aw, that's nice. Well, extra glad then that you managed to squeak out some time for us.
Yeah, it's because you asked last minute.
There you go.
I had free time. I was like, yes, perfect, tomorrow.
It's like the hotline. We're like, ready now. And you're like, yep. What? Oh, okay.
But I do. I enjoy all of your commentaries and you guys are just so much fun to hang out with. I wish we were all in the same city still.
Next year in Philly.
Yes.
Right. Well, yeah. Speaking of which, everybody should go to moviesbyminutes.com, like Crystal just said, and find all the different shows that have popped up in that community, which, let it be said, would not be as much of a vibrant and exciting community without Crystal Beth.
It's true.
Once in future queen of the Movies by Minutes community.
I think that's moved on to Liz now. I think she's the queen at the moment. I'm just I'm a overseer maybe. I'm there and happy watching all
mom.
Of my blessed babies. Yeah.
Right. Or what's that? Not docent. That's a museum guide. What's the person who? Anyway.
That.
Anyway, moviesbyminutes.com. It's all there. There's over 200 Movies by Minutes shows for you to check out. And I'm sure you'll find one that you like. And hopefully you continue to like this one, because we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new Star Wars.
Star Wars Minute.
Minute of Star Wars.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.